The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15 powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar visuals and immersive sound. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Don't miss out on Black Friday and July savings at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
Hour number two of the program. Always a delight to keep the chair warm for Rich. Try to maintain the momentum that he generates every single week. And I appreciate you spending part of your Independence Day with us. Evidently, there are some gremlins with the phone lines today. That's okay. I am a carnival barker. I will continue to give out the phone number with the hope that perhaps later in the show or tomorrow, because I'm back with you to wrap up the week with gusto for the Friday edition of the program tomorrow, 844-204-7424. Although in all candor, if you happen to know who I am, have you ever heard me take more than, say, two calls in the span of 3 hours? Just not my brand of radio, although I know it works for others. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's, is your best option on the X platform. Just had a very good football conversation with Trevor Sikkema, a Pro Football Focus. A reminder, especially during a holiday week, if you miss any portion of any program, you can listen anytime with the podcast. We push that out immediately after the conclusion of the show. Coming up in 40 minutes, because I'm a purist, I'm talking some baseball. I'm also going to take some moments right here to put in perspective what Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge are doing, but we'll do it in entertaining fashion. Just want to be upfront with you that baseball is still a topic. It is not sports talk radio poison. In 40 minutes, we'll check in with Gabe Lux of USA Today. Plus, I think we all need a break from the NBA analysis. As much as I go all in during this time of the year, eventually it runs its course. So unless while we're together for the next 2 hours or 3 hours tomorrow, somehow Markkanen's on the move or DeMar DeRozan gets traded, I will adjust the format accordingly. I will venture back into the NBA in the final hour of the show when we talk with Eric Pincus, longtime hoops journalist. Check out his good work at Bleacher Report. But we are shifting gears. Coming up in 20 minutes, I keep saying Independence Day because, after all, that is the spirit and the resonance of July 4th. That word, independence, got me thinking about where we are as a sports consumer culture right now. How much freedom do we truly have as sports fans? I'm not going to try to get too deep, although I like to stick it to the man as much as I can. Probably why I'm a guest host, not the Brian Weber show after all. But we're going to talk about where we are now as fans and consumers and what the landscape looks like. That is coming up in 20 minutes. All right, I've given you enough of an opportunity to say, no, he's talking baseball. I am not reading box scores. I am not going through real-time updates across the bigs. I am not going to peruse the standings. I'm giving you an overview that I think should have much more national impact, understanding where the sport is today. And I'm as guilty as anybody of making a business decision years ago as someone who got into this industry because I love baseball primarily. I realized I have bills to pay. And even though I don't have any dependents, if I want to stay in my regal one-bedroom apartment here in Southern California, I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. You can pass along your thoughts on Twitter, X at me, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Unless I was going to grind hard and be a Major League Baseball play-by-play announcer and I was around it long enough doing pregame shows for the Giants and the A's. While those guys are tremendously talented off the year, most are miserable. Because baseball is like life. There's 162 of them. Now, if you want to take a step back and frame it in terms of the rewards of baseball, if you love the sport, the volume, the quantity is the quality. Because there's a freaking game every day. There's something to talk about. That's why if I was filling in on WIP in Philadelphia or FAN in New York or EEI in Boston or whatever station you listen to, the score in Chicago, baseball is still king regionally. And the fact that Aaron Judge continues to do Ruthian things gives lazy shows a topic to discuss. Now, I would not hopefully venture into that area. So, for example, as NBA free agency is starting to drip, 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 and there's only so much LeBron I think we can reasonably discuss unless you're just looking to play the hits, my man. I saw this topic on one of the Talking Head shows last night and this morning. Who is having a better year, Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge? Now, I could read you a bunch of numbers, but that is mind-numbingly boring. From a perspective of a casual fan, especially on July 4th, all you need to know is Aaron Judge right now has a shot at the Triple Crown, and Ohtani is right there with him in all the major metrics. In fact, he's only a point behind him in batting average. I'm now contradicting myself. I can't help myself. It's baseball. I got to dig into the numbers. But Ohtani hitting 27 home runs, coming back from another Tommy John procedure, and I realize that the swing is very different than the pitching motion, but isn't it just remarkable what Ohtani is doing? Now, Judge is in a category of his own in terms of gargantuan talents. This is my default mode. Let me put a little piece of paper here and a pen so I can make sure I don't get past five Paul Bunyan references. If I say Aaron Judge, I go right to Paul Bunyan. Because in the history of baseball, there are only a handful of guys of his stature who are doing the kinds of things that he has done in baseball history. And if I say that, you know that's over a century. We're talking Frank Howard, not with the average. We're talking Dave Kingman. There are only a few dudes that big who have been able to obliterate the baseball. And in Judge's defense, he is not one-dimensional. I mentioned the glittering batting average. All those home runs, he's also going to drive in a ton of runs, so he's leading the league in RBI. He also plays his position well in the field, so I guess if you wanted to get into hot take territory, you'd say advantage Judge, because Ohtani is merely a DH. But if we're talking versatility when healthy, who has been more versatile than Shohei Ohtani? If I wanted to broaden the focus, and maybe this works better given how much apathy we have nationally for the grand old game, I will give you an inside media perspective. There's a reason every successful show talks as much football as possible, because research indicates, and you don't even have to look much further than TV ratings, but if you do some focus groups, football is so dominant, you can argue I should talk football every segment, every show year-round. I just can't do it in good conscience. I have too much of either a legacy mindset or I enjoy the versatility of sports. I'm not talking badminton. I'm not taking you down the road of breaking down the Wimbledon draw. But baseball still gets millions of people to show up, still generates billions of dollars, despite the fact it is the most mismanaged business in the sports world of them all. So I'm watching last night the reveal of the All-Star starters, and we'll talk about the implications of that with Gabe Lux of USA Today coming up in 30 minutes. They also showed the All-Star jerseys. This is not a visual medium. I'm part of the Not Ready for the Simulcast players, although one day before I retire, I will be in that studio with my guy Del Tufo. We work together at NFL Network along with TJ and Chris. It'll happen. It's on my bucket list. If you have a moment, I will do my best to paint the word picture check out how hideous these All-Star game unis are. Now, we should not be surprised because baseball is so fundamentally mismanaged and broken. Remember the pants controversy we had in spring training and the X-rated trousers that baseball had, letting you know balls and strikes in a whole different dimension. So these All-Star uniforms are grotesque. Here's a quick fix, and I'm not just trying to be the guy saying everything was better in 1983. If you're of a certain age, do you remember when the All-Stars wore their own uniforms and how cool it was? I can close my eyes and picture Dave Parker rocking those phenomenal Pittsburgh Pirates uniforms of the We Are Family Buccos in 1979. I understand why we have these new jerseys, merchandise. So if you got a 12-year-old kid, now you're on the hook to buy him or her even more merch. I get it. I am not against capitalism, but not everything has to be sold in terms of bankrupting your tradition. And that's the problem with baseball. They run away from history because they think somehow that's going to push away the TikTok generation. The problem baseball has is they lost generations of fans because the game became so damn boring. Once analytics took over, and again, I'm not anti-intelligence. I'm typically a member of Nerd Nation, although I got into this industry because I enjoy storytelling and baseball because of the volume, because of large rosters times 162 games times 32 teams gives you more potential storytelling devices than any other sport. Still, like anything else, when the calculator crew took over, it changes the fabric of the game. So the baseball decline that I have witnessed over the last 15 years comes down to two things. The rise of football as a better TV sport, fantasy football and gambling also pushing that along. Although, if you want to get down, wouldn't you bet baseball? You could do it every day. Although it's trickier. I know you got to get into odds. But if you're betting, I think you can figure that out as opposed to all of us understanding the spread. And if you want to bet baseball, I'm told, go with the hot pitcher. That's just anecdotal. Do not write that down as betting advice. Baseball got into a crisis when they took the human element and made it secondary in terms of running the clubs. So I realize how we've arrived where we are today. And even though they finally abolished or largely limited the shift, they made the bases bigger. They added the pitch clock, which has made the game much more watchable, and they should have done it years ago. The problem remains, the ball is just not in play enough because now pitchers have gotten so dominant, and that's because if you are an 8-year-old phenom, 30 years ago you played all the sports. Now mom and dad said, hey, Joey, guess what? We're playing club baseball, and you're playing year-round. So by the time you get to high school or the low minors, you're throwing 102, and you've already had your first Tommy John. Pitching will always be ahead of hitting, and it doesn't help that the approach to what's happening at the plate says swing for the fences, because the analytics crowd will tell you if you put the ball in the air, the outcome is either going to be a home run or an out. You put it on the ground, it could be a double play. Remember, we're not playing baseball anymore. We're playing a game of attrition trying to save 27 outs. So that's what fundamentally occurred, which leads me back to what I wanted to discuss. Greatness has to break through how repetitive and mundane the sport has become in recent years. It's all or nothing at all, home run or strikeout. And I don't want to get into the conversation about the merits of the bunt, okay? I realize we're not doing satellite radio in the middle of the night, but there's something to be said for variety. If the whole world is zigging, why don't you zag? Why doesn't one team try small ball just to mix it up? I was so happy to see steals become part of baseball again last year. I'm not saying we have to go back to the 1983 Cardinals taking advantage of the concrete-like turf at Busch Stadium and having Vince Coleman peeling around the bases. I'm just saying I want the sport to be less cookie-cutter, and that's why icons like Judge and Ohtani break through and command our attention. Now, it helps the Judge wears the pinstripes because everything is bigger in New York. But I get the feeling, even if Ohtani played for the Yankees and the Dodgers are comparable, the difference is New York is, and I say this as a recovering New Yorker, so I'm not disparaging my hometown from 3,000 miles away, just like Rich. I grew up, Rich is actually part of New York City, Staten Island. I grew up on the edge. I could see the Bronx from our luxurious home in Pelham Manor, New York. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424. Hit me up on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. New York drives the cycle in terms of talking points because of the media dominance, which has only gotten bigger because of where ESPN is located. But even if Ohtani were on the Yankees, I don't think he would be a larger figure than he currently is. Now, you may say to me, hey, fill-in guy, we all know Ohtani. What are you talking about? My point is this. 15 years ago, Ohtani would be the biggest athlete in the country, arguably in the world, because he's the face of baseball. And I get it. Patrick Mahomes moves ahead of him because he's the best player on the best team in football, going after an unprecedented three-peat in terms of three consecutive Super Bowls. We haven't had three consecutive NFL championships won by a team, going back to Vince Lombardi's Packers with some NFL titles and then the Super Bowls back-to-back. We could talk about LeBron James being a transcendent global figure. But there was a time, and I'm not going back to 1947, when it was baseball, boxing, and horse racing. I'm saying as recently as 15 or 20 years ago, a player of the magnitude of Shohei Ohtani as a baseball star would be the biggest star in the American sports culture. I could argue with his versatility because he's going to pitch again, and the Dodgers might want to have a conversation with him saying something along the lines of, my man, you're going to have a shot at winning the National League MVP award as a DH. We've never had a full-time DH do it. You got to go back to Don Baylor late in the 1970s, who was only a DH for 40% of the time for the then California Angels, but he played the outfield as well, and he won the DH. This is getting terribly minutia-laden. But if the Dodgers had the mindset of maximizing Ohtani for the entirety of the contract, they could have a chat with him saying, look at what you're doing right now as a hitter only. With the injuries, they've moved him up to the leadoff spot, and he's still mashing the ball because he's a singular talent. The problem with that straw man argument is we know Ohtani's very identity comes down to being a pitcher. It's in his DNA. He forced his way to Major League stardom by choosing the Angels because contractually they said, we're going to let you pitch. So even though you can argue, because if you look at his numbers during the periods in which he hasn't pitched, he's hit even better, you could say, Shohei, just be a one-way player and you're still going to be the best or top three player in all of baseball. But given what he's already achieved, an unprecedented versatility we've not seen since George Herman Babe Ruth, couldn't you argue that Ohtani is the greatest athlete of this century? And I don't do Mount Rushmores, but I'm just doing this in terms of an overview. Who else pops into your head? And it's Olympic year, so I don't want to slight anybody who we don't talk about other than the Olympic cycle. Michael Phelps would belong in that conversation. But what Ohtani is doing, I'll give you another nugget. I mentioned this out in passing yesterday, but anything that can bolster my argument is healthy. Ohtani, a couple nights ago, became the first player in baseball history to have at least 25 homers and 50 extra base hits before the All-Star break three separate times. He is rewriting record books that have lasted for decades, and it just feels like, for whatever reason, beyond our apathy about baseball as a sport, there's a lot of, okay, he's great, so what? And maybe it's my own tendency to get back to the pursuit of excellence. That's why I wanted to be around sports. That's what, not to be too self-important, I strive to do every time I turn on the microphone. I just appreciate what Ohtani has already achieved and what he's currently accomplishing, along with Aaron Judge, in a way that it feels like to me there should be more of a national conversation, understanding the games are not played in black and white anymore, and they don't take trains between Cleveland and Boston. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. We'll get back to the baseball conversation coming up in 20 minutes when we bring in Gabe Lux of USA Today. I believe I turned on the TV. Yes, the hot dog eating contest is over. I am not giving you the details. I'm not trying to be a contrarian. It's just not important to me. Maybe I'll Google and I'll do a factual, here's your update, and we'll keep moving. I do feel badly for Jeremy Schapp. You talk about a sports journalist. His father, Dick Schapp, basically was the first print journalist to cross over to have TV fame. I mentioned the Packers. He co-wrote Instant Replay with Jerry Kramer, one of the best football books of all time. Jeremy Schapp somehow was assigned to this event. And I guess since my mindset is your best ability is availability, Jeremy said, yeah, I don't think we're doing a lot of journalism these days. Let me talk to somebody who just ate over 50 hot dogs. Since we are getting into the mindset to enjoy some gluttony as a nation on this 4th of July, a reminder, Ready, Set, Griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that feels safe from metal tools, and it is 100% safe, so you don't have to worry about that element at all. It is pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, so you have comprehensive coverage. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep Cook and Store system keeps cooking supplies handy. You can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. So get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. I'm Brian Weber, no relation. If I had Weber grill money, I would not be here on a holiday. Coming up on this Independence Day, are we as sports fans, we the people, about to have less freedom? We're getting a little philosophical here. I'll explain what I mean coming up. Always a delight to be in for Rich and the fellas. We roll on the 4th of July, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light? light, fixed, or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Weber back with you. It always helps to turn on the microphone. I was in the midst of a lovely rant. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, and I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. It is amazing. I did my first radio show in 1988. Every 10 years or so, I get on a roll, and I forget to turn on the microphone. That is operator error, although it does point out I am live on the 4th of July, and the other way I can demonstrate that is begrudgingly passing along the results of the hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. I am not making this a topic. I just spent a good portion of the opening monologue trying to contextualize the greatest athletes of this century. Joey Chestnut is not going to be part of that conversation. Still, to give you the overview, Joey Chestnut set the record in this gluttonous competition, quote-unquote, with 76 hot dogs and buns, remember, you got to eat the buns. That was a few years ago, 2021. Last year was down to 62. Your winner, as he was chowing away with 58 hot dogs, a fellow named Patrick Bertoletti, and now you know the rest of the story. I had an eloquent opening right there. I cannot believe I forgot to turn on the microphone. It happens, everyone. Although I know some of you out there listening probably of the mindset dead air was much more riveting than yours truly talking about deep things like sports freedom on the 4th of July. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get back to the baseball conversation when we check in with Gabe Lux of USA Today. Not to get too deep, and I'm not getting political, but it is interesting to me, as someone who does spend far too much time thinking about this stuff, if I'm going to be candid, it's been the most important thing in my life since I was 19 years old. So a 35-year run, it's not over, but I'm trying to have a little bit more balance. But as I think about where we are as sports consumers, because it should be clear, in addition to enjoying a hot dog or 12, I consume a ton of sports media. Listen to a lot of sports talk radio. Even though I don't enjoy the talking head shows, I've hosted them, so maybe I am hate watching, as you kids say. It is a fascinating time for all of us in terms of how the media landscape is evolving. So if we're talking about freedom, we have never had more freedom as a collective, a group of sports fans, than we do now. If you are interested in watching anything, you can find it. And what a magnificent development that is. As much as I romanticize growing up in the 80s, there was the game of the week on NBC. So living in New York, if I wanted to see Andre Dawson on the Cubs, I had one shot a week in addition to WGN, but my old man was very cheap, and we didn't get cable until I was deep into my teenage years, but I'll save that for my therapist. So, We've never had more options. It is a wonderful time to be a sports fan. I don't care what your niche sport is, because I say that in fairness, if you're not part of football, basketball, baseball, maybe hockey. For example, I spent 20 years off and on at the Tennis Channel. If you love Wimbledon, you can now watch every court simultaneously on your phone. Unbelievable technological advance. Now, here's the problem. We've hit peak sports TV, for lack of a better term. Content is the broad heading, but you know what I'm talking about. I think you've realized what's coming. For all of those years that we bash cable TV, and I'm with you, because it ain't fun to see the cable bill go up and up and up, and for years it was a monopoly, so they held us hostage. But for all the hand-wringing and consternation about getting ripped off by the man with the cable company because you couldn't pick what you wanted, why do I get all these channels? Well, how do things look now? So, for example, if you're someone who needs to see every NFL game, you do realize you're going to have to sign up for even more streaming platforms this year, because Christmas Day is going to be owned by Netflix. We already had the Peacock experiment last year, and I'm treading lightly here because I realize who I'm filling in for. And Rich Eisen was a visionary. He took this show to the Roku channel, Emmy-nominated simulcast. Now, the difference is that's free. And my only dilemma, and it's not a huge conundrum in my life, we'll be fine either way, is the more things go beyond the mass appeal, like watching a game on network television, the more we wind up in silos, the less we have in common. Now, I understand there are workarounds, and I guess you kids on TikTok have pirated streams. I'm not even talking about that. I don't want to get into the dark web. But there are generations of sports fans who never watch games anymore. They just watch the highlights on social media. And that seems odd to me, because half the fun of watching a game is the organic development. Okay, your team's now 14 in the second quarter, but you know there's a long way to go. So if you're only seeing the dunks and the threes, do you have a real sense of how it played out? And again, maybe I am just stuck in the past. But I do think we've reached a tipping point, and there's going to be more and more, outrage is a strong word, but pushback from sports fans. You're going to say, wait a minute, I'm used to getting the games in a very straightforward fashion. For example, there are cable blackouts that have continued because of carriage wars between regional sports networks and the cable behemoths that say a large portion of the country can't watch the Atlanta Braves right now. And I guess the answer is you could turn on the radio, but we've gotten accustomed to a golden age of content. Everything we wanted right in front of us, largely in a straightforward economic fashion if you could pay your cable bill. Now, it's going to be, if you go out and get every streaming service, you're going to need to watch every NFL game, ESPN Plus, Amazon, Peacock, Netflix now coming online. I'm sure I'm overlooking something. Paramount Plus is free, but you get the point I'm making here. It's actually not free, but the games are mere simulcast from what you get over air on CBS, so I don't think you're missing anything right now. If you add up every platform you need to watch every NFL game, and I'm just picking the NFL because the NBA is going to Amazon after next season as well, you're going to wind up paying more than you currently do. So I'm fascinated to see how that impacts the industry, because sports has been the one thing that has been recession-proof. We've never had a pullback. In fact, we've had unbelievable growth as seen in ratings, player salary, franchise value. Why do you think the Celtics are for sale right now? There's a sense it's the top of the market. But I do worry about generations of sports fans who are just not as connected to the games the way we were, because they're all on in primetime, or they're going to have to say, hey, Dad, can you sign up for Peacock? And I can't have an issue, because I grew up in the household run by a very frugal father. I can't have a problem with parents saying, I got to draw the line someplace. And kids will figure it out, but it just, to me, feels like we've reached a very important inflection point. So, on an Independence Day, enjoy what we have now, because it feels like we've hit a new horizon in terms of having less freedom and spending more as sports consumers. I'm Brian Weber. Remembering to turn on the microphone. It is important in the audio realm. Hit me up on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Coming up, we will take you round the bases, talk more baseball with Gabe Lux of USA Today. In fact, we'll focus on the second city. The White Sox were supposed to be awful, and they've lived down to those expectations. It's a horrid team. But what happened to the Cubs? A lot of folks picked them to win the Central, and they have been equally dreadful so far. We'll find out when we check in with Gabe Lux of USA Today. I'm Brian Weber. I appreciate you spending part of the 4th of July with us on The Rich Eisen Show.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Brian Weber with you. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's talk baseball. Always a pleasure to check in with Gabe Lux of USA Today. Gabe, I appreciate you taking the time on the 4th of July. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
I am doing well, and let's start with the news that was announced last night. The All-Star starters became official. Philadelphia having more validation in the midst of a very effective year on the diamond. Three quarters of the infield will be Phillies. Gabe, I realize that Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber are currently banged up, but when we take a step back and look at all of the positive things that have been happening in Philadelphia this year, why do you think this team has been this good?
Yeah, you know, it's so typical in baseball, but it comes back to pitching. And, you know, the star power on the team is immense. And the stars play like stars. You know, when you're talking about Harper, when you're talking about Schwarber and JT Realmuto when he's healthy, and now Alec Baum is stepping into that role, you know, leads the majors with 70, leads the National League with 70 RBIs. But, you know, you get to that great base of starting pitching, and it's just remarkable what they've gotten, not just from Zach Wheeler, not just from Ranger Suarez, but now from Christopher Sanchez. You know, all of those guys with ERAs under three and going, you know, six, seven innings and outing, absolutely, unheard of to have a staff that does that in this day and age. And then, you know, Aaron Nola pitching even better than he typically does, you know, but certainly justifying the fact that they decided to re-sign him, and then a real lights-out bullpen as well. So, you know, they can kind of, you know, it's so hard to do in this game, but they can kind of impose their will on teams. whether it's with the offensive explosions or winning tight games with the bullpen with good starting pitching, or simply outlasting the other team, outflanking them because their bullpen is that deep. They're playing 663 ball, which is certainly no fluke on the 4th of July when you get to this point in time. So, yeah, they are certainly the juggernaut that their record makes them appear to be.
663 is borderline insane as we continue with Gabe Lux of USA Today here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Gabe, I mentioned I watched the broadcast revealing the All-Star starters. I also saw some hideous All-Star game uniforms. Did you catch that at all? And I don't want to be a prisoner of the past. Why can't we go back to what worked in the 70s and 80s when the All-Stars wore their own uniforms?
I actually did a story on this last summer in Seattle. Kind of pulled the major leaguers about it. Most of them wanted to wear their own uniforms. You know, the cool thing of just seeing everybody represented, everybody out there, backed up by the fact that the modern uniform, especially in this Nike Fanatics modern pairing, just, the game specific uniform just doesn't look that good. They're
borderline pornographic, as we found out in spring training, right?
Right. The names don't look great on them. It's a massive failing by Nike, really. And people, it's kind of funny. You hear sort of press box wags complaining about things and like, why is there so much talk about the uniforms? Why is this even a story? Well, it is a story because this is an area of the game that Major League Baseball has identified as important for marketing purposes, important, to kind of connect to kids and to sell, more merchandise to people. And some people will just blindly buy whatever they put on the rack. That's fine. They'll make their money. But, if the sneakerheads out there, the uniform aficionados out there, think they're ugly, they are objectively ugly, that's a problem. That's a big failure if you're, creating a product that people think is cool and want to identify with, and they're objectively not great. That's a significant failure on the part of Major League Baseball and its business partners at a time when they're making inroads positively in a lot of other ways and, doing the best they can to kind of juggle this TV streaming reckoning that's, been coming down the pike for about a decade now. It doesn't seem that hard to make a really good looking, aesthetically pleasing uniform. So I don't know when they're going to, supposedly they're going to course correct by next year. The proof will be in whatever they put on the hanger come February, I guess.
Appreciate the analysis. I'm glad that also tapped into what you were writing about last summer. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. We're talking baseball with Gabe Lux of USA Today. Gabe, I spent the opening portion of this hour detailing the transcendent season that Aaron Judge is putting together. He's got a shot at the Triple Crown, albeit here early in July. However, if we take a big picture look at the Yankees, since June 15th, a record of 4-12, that's the worst in all of baseball. So what has led to this rough patch?
Yeah, I think it's, this could be way oversimplifying things, but it could simply just be a matter of they weren't as good as they were when they were playing 700 ball. They're not as bad as they are right now. And it's kind of interesting. They were able to overcome, the slow start of Aaron Judge, which seems like eons ago, right? And maybe in reality, it was only about 3 weeks to a month, which, April is a very tough month on guys. And obviously, he's been a Triple Crown winner since then. But, everything was going great for a while there from, May to mid-June, about a 6-7 week stretch where everything was chiming. And now things have hit a wall a bit. I think you just look at Luis Eel, American League Pitcher of the Month in May, untouchable in May. And now here's a guy a couple years removed from Tommy John surgery, and which isn't to say that he's hitting a wall necessarily, but he's certainly maybe getting into some uncharted waters with regard to, making, more than he's up to 17 starts now. That's definitely more than a half year. He's going to be a 30 start guy for the first time in his career. that's a pretty significant leap for that guy, for a guy who didn't pitch at all in 2021, who only pitched in 2023 in the major leagues, only pitched four minor league innings last year. So, you know, you got those guys hitting that wall. Rodon not pitching as well as he used to be doing. Clark Schmidt is on the IL and is probably going to be on the IL into August, and he pitched to a 2.52 ERA. You know, so it's a little bit of the depth is being exposed. Some of the performance isn't matching what it is. But, I think they're going to be fine. I know it's a kind of a blinking red light right now. They're two games behind the Orioles, and certainly, right there for having the best record in the American League. So I don't know if they'll be as good as they were in May, but I certainly don't think they're going to be as bad as they've been for these last three or so weeks.
Gabe, we have just a handful of minutes left in this hour. It's an expansive question, but you always do a good job of crystallizing your thoughts. So the whole point of the recent rule changes, in addition to speeding up pace of play, and the pitch clock has worked magnificently, was also to get the ball in play more often. Hence, let's limit the shift. Let's have bigger bags. Why do you think pitching is still so dominant even after these rule changes?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. The league-wide batting average right now is .242. in the final year with the shift, with everything else, it was .243. So it has now corrected back. You got rid of shifts, you added the pitch clock, the batting average went up to .248. OPS went from .706 to .734. Well, now that's all fallen off a cliff. The OPS, again, is back down to .705. I don't think it's going to be that bad. All those numbers have gone up the last week. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been pretty hot lately.
Are hitters heating up with the weather? We are talking baseball, Gabe. I love the old bromides.
Yeah. Oh, and it's, I think it's kind of true. We're obviously pretty far removed from the, from the days of April. Cold weather and guys, they're trying to shake the cobwebs. But the ball is flying right now. And, I don't know if MLB did one of its little, let's stick some hoppier baseballs in there. But it's definitely carrying more than it did. You're starting to see those returns with some higher scores and whatnot. But, no, it's to your greater point, it's absolutely true. It's, it's harder than ever to hit, I think, just because, again, so many people are throwing 9,500 miles an hour. Relievers are better than ever. And scouting reports, this is probably the biggest thing to me, the thing I hear most consistently, that they will find a hole and they will exploit it. And I think it's just the fact that they've gotten so finite that it's not just pitch this quadrant, but, pitch to even this spot within this quadrant, and pitchers are so good now that they can hit that. And, it does seem like a paradox, because it's like, nobody can hit, everybody's blowing out their arms, right? it seems like, both sides of the ball are suffering. But at the end of the day, I think it's the hitting piece of it that's still, is struggling. And there's only so much Major League Baseball can do to prop them up. And, you talk to a pitcher about it, and they bring up a very good point, which is, since 1969, virtually every rule change has been to benefit hitters. And so they're getting a little salty about all the things that are being taken away from them, starting with the lowered mound ever since, Bob Gibson's epic 1968 season. So, yeah, it's there's only so much you can do to kind of artificially pump up the hitters, but it's still a slog for them, certainly.
Gabe, outstanding information as always. I really appreciate you taking the time on the 4th of July. Hope you and your family enjoy the long holiday weekend.
Okay, you got it, Brian. Thank you, man.
Gabe Lux of USA Today is outstanding. And looking ahead, if I'm lucky enough to sit in for Rich on Labor Day, I will write a note to myself, turn on the microphone. Secondly, we will talk some baseball in addition to going all in with football, college football, and the NFL on Labor Day. And when I talk to Gabe, my first question will be, Gabe, balls are flying out of the yards. Does that mean the ball is juiced? Because that's how it works in baseball, right? I go back to the old Sinatra lyric, all or nothing at all, a myriad of strikeouts or a slew of home runs. We are getting ready for the final hour of the program. Hop aboard on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two B's, straight ahead. Couple more thoughts on NBA free agency. Why did the league kill all the drama by design? That is coming up as we continue on the 4th of July on the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.